You know, some people get up in the morning and having this problem is a big problem. Because their brain doesn't work like yours does and like mine does and other people. And so it's kind of like they have to do it with one hand. You know? I've never tried it one-handed even. That doesn't feel right. I'm not sure that's the way to do it. You see, there are some people who have brain disorders, severe ones that are not controllable by various kinds of medications and things, and they end up with so severe a problem that the doctors, because of the way the neurons fire in the brain and cross back and forth and really cause major issues across the middle of the brain there that connects the two hemispheres, doctors end up finding that really, as kind of almost a last resort, they end up having to cut that little section between the two halves of the brain a little bit. And it can create some real difficulties, as you might guess, when the two halves of your brain can't communicate back and forth as they normally would. And so they end up with a disconnection disorder, a disconnection syndrome. The most acute kind is called alien hand. It's where your non-dominant hand, see, in my case, it's this one. It's where your non-dominant hand just does whatever it wants. Just whatever it feels like. And so, you know, very often you got to try and do this just one-handed because the other one, it's just off doing its own thing. Whatever it wants to do. So you're stuck. And sometimes some people think the church sort of works like that. You know, the right hand not knowing. You've heard that before, haven't you? Probably not here, but in some other churches you visited, maybe you've probably heard that. Colossians chapter 1:18 tells us that, and he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Well, there is no disorder in the head of the church. Amen. There is no disorder there. So how can we have more unity? We spent our week of prayer talking about unity. I want to think about that just a little bit more this morning as we consider what Paul has to say about unity in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, we read, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." Sometimes we feel like we're not necessarily all that connected together, like some part of us is just off in space, just doing whatever it wants, while the rest of us is trying to do something specific. Or maybe we've even got one hand that's trying to do one thing while the other hand tries to do something else, you know? And you end up maybe worse than you were before. A little more comfortable, but no. And we wonder if that's what goes on in the church sometimes. And are we really one? Is this evidence that maybe we're not as unified as we thought we were? Maybe we're not really one church. We're just a collection of people that happen to get together on the same day finally, we all figured out which day. So that's the day, and we all come together on that day. But otherwise, it's just sort of catch as catch can. Is that how it works? How do we find more unity? How do we find what Paul was talking about here? The body, many members. We have arms, we have legs, we have hands, we have feet, we have eyes and ears. And yet one body. All of these different things working together, working for one purpose, one goal. One body. How do we make that happen? I wonder how many of you, when you were younger and did stuff that was kind of silly, you know? Like, you know, see if you could ride your bicycle down a 2x4. Maybe you weren't that silly. I have the scars to prove that I am. But did I decide that because my hands didn't do a good job of guiding the bike that the rest of my body would disown them? And just, you're done. You're out of here. You messed us up one too many times. That's it for you. You're gone. Can you imagine? How many of you would think that's a great idea? I didn't think so either. That's why I still have both of mine. But we sometimes want to think about the church that way. You messed up one too many times. Adios, your history. Not part of the body anymore. Not good. We have to understand that we're all in this together. We're one body. And sometimes we try and help each other out, you know? We're working away at doing something right, and we think, man, we need some more help. And so we get somebody else into it, you know? We call on others to help out, and so we find people that really don't fit, and we try and get them to do something they weren't meant to do. Yeah, a mouth can hold something, but it's not real good at it, is it? It has much better things it can do. Cherry pie comes, no. Yeah, see? Exactly. We have to understand that we're all in this together, that each of us has a place, a function, something that God made just for us to do. And we might do some other things okay. We might be all right at something, but God has something special for you. God has a place for you. God has something that you need to do as part of His body. Part of the body of Christ. And He's got just that spot for you. We need to find it. Each of us in the right place, serving God, doing the things that we are made to do. But unity is more than just being many and being one. Let's look at verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. And so sometimes we start looking at one another and say, well, you're not part of this ministry, so not so important. You know, it'd be like me having an argument between my two hands. How come you're not on the other side, Palm? Oh, okay. Well, now wait a minute. Now your thumb's upside down. And we argue about each other. We want to find everybody to be just like us. We want to find that right spot for them to be. And of course, that's what I do. Right? But how would it be? How hard would it be to button your shirt if both your hands were the same and they couldn't work together to button the shirt, right? How would that be if they weren't the same? Wouldn't work very well, would it? It's good to be where God wants us to be, isn't it? To serve the purpose that He's called us to serve, to do that thing, and surprisingly, to let the other person serve in their place, where God has called them, to do the things that God has called them to do. You see, a mouth can hold things. A mouth could even sort of a little bit maybe help to make the tie right, right? But two hands work so much better. You know, they work so much better. Oh, let's see here. See if we can do this. You see, it's not that we're supposed to ignore the differences, because there are differences. And sometimes people think that when we talk about unity, what we mean is, oh, we shouldn't care that somebody's doing something wrong. We should just overlook it. In the sake of unity, just let's all be unified and do things like it doesn't matter. Right? Is it coming out right? Coming out right? Here we go. It's not perfect, but it's not too bad. A little short. I'll try again. I'll try again. And so we look at others and we say, well, we should just be unified. You're not really seriously videoing this, are you? You're scaring the daylights out of me. Yeah, really. And everybody else here. And so we look at others and we wanna either do one of two things. Say, oh, well, we want unity, so it doesn't matter that something's a little different. Maybe even wrong. But that isn't what Paul did, is it? In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, I withstood Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. Right? Am I getting it right? I don't even know yet. I'm paying attention more to what I'm saying. Not paying attention to what I'm doing. I think I got it. Did I get it? Don't know? We'll tell you in a second. All right. Now it's too long. Oh well. Takes me three tries, you know. Paul said he withstood Peter to his face because he was to be blamed. And sometimes we think that's it. That's what we need to do. We just need to get in somebody's face and take care of the problem and make them right. But I want you to notice that it is that we talk to them face to face, right? We don't go around behind their back. We talk to them face to face. And in fact, if we're following Matthew 18 carefully, it says, go to them. Go to them. One on one. And if they listen, you've won their hearts. And we have unity. But unity is more than just being many and being one, more than just sticking together in spite of our differences. Let's read verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. We're not all a big foot or a big eye or a big nose. Ooh, that's a good thing. Others don't have to be just like us. They can be a little bit different. We can allow the hand to do its job and the mouth to do its job. Each one in their proper place. And so unity is a number of things. And I have the feeling that as Jesus talked with his disciples day by day, I have the feeling that he talked to them about these kinds of things. Because he was always worrying is not the right word, is it? He was always talking to them about the fact that they wanted one to be more than the other, you know? They wanted to be the one in charge, the one who was best in the kingdom. And maybe that's not our issue, but we have our places too, where the devil tries to get us disunified. And as he talked with them day after day, three and a half years, in the presence of Jesus, they still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. What was it? After hearing all the lessons for so long from the best teacher they could possibly hope for, and they still didn't get it. As they heard these lessons on unity, do you think they just had a disconnect? Didn't understand? One side didn't know what the other was talking about? What was it? Do you think the disciples didn't know that they were supposed to be 12 guys, but all Jesus' followers? Do you think they didn't know that? I think they did. Do you think that they didn't think they were supposed to stick together, and yet from the garden, pew, they all took off? You think they didn't hear when Jesus said, you're supposed to allow one another that space? Did they not get these lessons? What happened? And yet, just a few days later, as they're getting ready for Pentecost, they're all in one place with one accord, full unity. What happened? What made the difference? May I suggest that the difference for the disciples happened on the beach? At least for Peter, it did. Because Peter knew what was right. Peter knew what he should do. Peter understood how these things should work. He intellectually grasped the concept of unity. But somehow it just didn't happen for him until Jesus walked up to him and said, Peter, do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sure. Peter, get it. Get it, Peter. Do you love me? Yeah, I do. I get it. Love is it. And as we look at Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, look at the last verse of chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. But earnestly desire the best gifts, Paul says. All of these things are important. All of this unity is important. All of these lessons are important. But he says, yet I show you a more excellent way. What? More excellent than unity? More excellent than these gifts? What's better than prophecy? What's better than being an apostle? Healing, gifts of tongues. What's better? What's better than all of that? What possibly could transcend this gift? And we turn the page to chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Can you imagine speaking not just the tongues of men, but the tongues of angels, holding converse with heavenly beings? Wow! But have not love. I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, yeah, the writings of Ron Hoffecker. Sounds good. Everybody reads them. And understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And though I have all faith, what? Just a mustard grain and I can move a mountain, but now I have all faith? Yeah! No. But have not love. I am and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, that's a lot of them, you know? In case you were wondering how much all was, that's a whole lot of your goods. Like, all of them. And though I give my body to be burned, have you ever been burned? You know, drop a match on yourself or something? Ooh, when I was a kid once, I had heard that the cool way to get rope so it didn't fray, when you had one of those plastic ropes, you know, was to burn the end, right? So I lit that baby up, let her burn till it was bubbly, right? All this bubbly string on the end. And then genius here doesn't go, he goes, and guess what happened to bubbly stuff? Flies off, lands right there. And it's like, blowing now doesn't help. Let me tell you, it's not moving except down into the skin. And finally I had to go and wipe it off because it wasn't coming off any other way. Burning doesn't feel good. Can you imagine giving your whole body to be burned? Can you imagine what that would be like? That would be a pretty serious commitment, wouldn't it? Like, you'd have to be really committed to God, wouldn't you? You'd have to be so sure you were right. You'd have to be really into this. And yet he says, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me. And let me tell you something further. It doesn't profit anybody around you anything either. You see, none of those things that we've talked about with unity is the real foundation. The foundation is love one for another. And until that foundation is laid, studs don't make any sense. They're kind of haphazard, tweaked around, because it's not solid, it's not straight, it's not level, it's not flat. They're just all over the place. Ceilings are all messed up. Roofs don't go on. Windows break. Nothing makes sense until the foundation is there. Now, you and I, we know a lot of stuff. We read a lot of stuff in the Bible. We read and understand. We have an intellectual assent to the truth. Is it possible we could forget? Why? Do we do stuff just because it's right? Because that's what we've always done? Because that's what we do in church? Or is it because we love? This disconnection syndrome has actually had to make some patients have to audibly talk to themselves to make sure they get both halves together. To work together. They know what they should do, but not always does one side carry on with what the other side's got in mind. You see how it works? There's a disconnect, causing a disunity there of action. Now, we know that we have to speak the truth. That's what Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth. But sometimes we have a disconnect from the rest of the verse, which says we have to speak the truth because we are in love with people. We speak the truth in love. If we're not in love with these people, if we're not in love with one another, why are we speaking truth? We're not going to hear it. Speak the truth in love. You've probably heard people talk about doing things for their kids that they wouldn't do for strangers, you know? That's what the world teaches us, is love. What is Christ's love like? What would Christ do for the stranger? What should we do? What should we do for the stranger across the aisle sitting here this morning? Should we love the stranger as much as we love our children? Should we do for the stranger what we would do for our children because that's what Jesus would do? Or can it go a little deeper? Can our motivation be that we will love others because that's what God has done for us? God has loved us. It's not just thinking, saying, or even doing the right thing simply because we want to be right. It's because we want to love. And that gives rise to our doing, our saying, and our thinking. like the disciples. We've heard about unity being important. We've spent our week of prayer thinking about unity, thinking about the disciples. We know what we should do. And like them, we need that aha moment, you know? That aha moment. I get it. It's about love. That beachfront moment. Peter, do you love me? If you love me, feed my sheep. Right? You see, the love motivates the action. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. I'm concerned. I'm concerned because I see the devil hammering away at people I love. You. And I can't just sit by and watch it happen. I can't do that. I love each of you too much for that. He hammers away at us, trying to knock us off our foundation of love. And we get into this cycle. We start to do something good. We're on the right track. We're going the right direction. He hammers us. We get off the foundation, and then we start going at each other. Have you seen that happen before? Probably somewhere else, but, you know. That cycle happens. And then after a while, we begin to look at it and say, man, we're not doing much good. Let's do something good. Okay, so we start to do something. It goes again. Folks, we need to do something different. We need to break the cycle. We need to do something crazy good, like loving like Jesus loves. God has so much for us. That's why the devil's hammering away. Let's do something different. Let's stick with Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. God is love, the foundation under our church. Brothers and sisters, let's build there. Let's build on that. Let's build on that love. God has the power to help us to stay true to Him, to stay in love with Him. And if we stay in love with God, we stay in love with one another, don't we? And it just sort of bubbles out. The disciples on that morning in the upper room, man, they've been there. They've been confessing sin. They've been praying, not just that Peter will get over himself, but they're praying for Peter's soul because now love motivates. Peter is who they're worried about. James is who they're worried about. John is who they're worried about. They're worried about others. And, oh yeah, Lord, I had this too, but man, don't worry about that. Think about James. Think about Peter. Think about Thaddeus. Think about Simon. Don't worry about me. I'm the least of the problems. Think about them, Lord. I'm praying for them. Back and forth, they prayed for one another. Things happened. Stuff happened. It just came on them. The Holy Spirit blew into their lives. Hurricane Holy Spirit. That's what I'm talking about. Comes into their lives and they couldn't help themselves. They went to every Bible prophecy made simple meeting and didn't even want them to end. Yeah. Because they had a love for souls that consumed them more than a love for self. That's what God, through this whole book, is trying to get us to do, isn't it? Come back to loving others as ourselves and loving Him supremely. Lakeland needs to see this real God of love. This week, I want to give you the opportunity to call on Him again. You see, because this hand, unless it's connected to the head, is just off doing its own thing. Right? I need to make that connection again. I need that golden ribbon again. I need that connection with Jesus. That golden ribbon between earth and heaven. I need to make that happen again, reconnecting with the head of the church. And as I do, I find out that things between me and my brothers and sisters, they come together too. They come together too. That golden ribbon connects us all, one to another, and to our Lord. And so this week, I invite you again to reconnect with the God of love, to call on Him, to choose to love when it's pounding on you not to. To make that choice, to make that choice. You know I love you, Lord. To say that once again. To choose once again. Yes, you're getting pounded. But we serve a God of love who is able, to do more than we can ask or think, to flood our hearts with that love by His Holy Spirit, as He did 12 hard-headed disciples who, after 3.5 years, still needed to be asked, "Do you love me?" Before that aha moment. And maybe for you and I, we need to again be asked, "Do you love me? Do you love these? Do you love Lakeland?" This week, call on the Lord. Call on the Lord for that kind of love. Pray for your brothers and sisters. The devil's working hard, especially on our friend Bill Waters and his wife. Folks working in this church, God has a plan. God has wonderful things for us, but the devil is hammering away. Pray for one another. Pray for that love that God has for us. And then make the choice. Let God supply the power. But make the choice. Make the choice to be loving